Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the intuitist, and I'm here to give you some tips today on intuitive healing. Now, I've come forward with this one because I had to make a doctor's appointment and go and see the local doctor. Now, I haven't had a doctor's appointment for quite a few years, 7 or 8 years. Now, I don't recommend that to anyone. We still need to go to the doctors. Obviously, we've got the physical body. We still need to help and achieve the good health that we want. However, I just didn't have any reason to go to the doctors. And if you've listened to a few of my other podcasts, you'll know that I don't have a really good reputation for doctors. I have to really connect with them. And sometimes it's not easy to do that. I was looking for a doctor that is an alternate therapist as well, or alternate health, has an alternate health attitude. So I wanted somebody that I could actually say, well, do I need to take the medication, or is there something natural that I could take? Because I prefer to do that. We had a 90-acre organic crop farm, and I've done massage, and I've done vibrational energies, Reiki. I've done a lot of the natural health vitamins and minerals when I was in pharmacy. So I've done a lot of that natural health aspect, and I don't like taking tablets in any way, shape or form. I do when I have to, but I don't like it. So for me to make a doctor's appointment and go to the doctors was a little bit challenging just for me. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that later. It was to do with girls' things. As we know, I've already gone through menopause, so I was experiencing a few issues down there. So there, I had to go to the doctors. But what I want to get through in this little podcast is the importance of knowing when we need to do that and when we don't. And that's about being connected with your intuition, really understanding that side of it. So the first thing we look at is how we collect or how we get our intuitive messages. So we get them physically, mentally, emotionally, and I used to say visually, but it's now more sort of not socially, but environmentally. So things that we see or that's happening in the environment around the area. So physically, mentally, emotionally, and environmentally. That's how we get these messages, these intuitive messages. Now, when I was trying to understand my health aspects, there was a lot to go with, and I've actually brought a couple of the books that I used to use a lot. The first one I used was Louise Hayes. Now, this is the Louise Hayes is You Can Heal Your Life or You Can Heal Yourself type book. I don't know where mine is. I must have lent it out. So I've got The Power Within You, which is Louise Hayes as well. But her You Can Heal Your Life was a great book. It was the one I really started on, and it gives you a lovely understanding of some of the physical ailments that we have and how we can reflect that back to our thought patterns, so the mental aspects and our emotional aspects, you know, how we deal with it. But what I really did like, and this was especially when I was going through childbirth, through that aspect with my periods, where I was having all sorts of PMS and problems with that one, this was the book that I went through. Now, this is called The Body is the Barometer of the Soul, So Be Your Own Doctor. And this is number 2, and it's by Annette Noontill. Now, she's an Australian author, actually, and she lives in Queensland too. Woohoo! But I didn't know any of that. I just saw the book. I was one of those people that sort of go, oh, that book looks good. It's jumping out at me. I'm going to go and take it home. I think I read it at a library first and then went out and purchased it. So this one goes where Louise Hayes goes in a more general aspect. This one goes right down to your chakras, your solar plexus. The writing's in purple too. Woohoo. But right down it goes to all the energy centers. It's just the concepts in it. So say you had, scratch my nose, so you have a sniffly nose. You can look up sniffly nose, or hang on, you can look up your different areas and it will take you to sniffly nose. Is it at the back? Gosh, I haven't done it for a while. Yeah, okay, so here we go. When we look at stiffness, like asthma or something to that effect, some of them are sort of joined up together. So when we look at allergies, 107, allergies is one of the things I really struggled with for a long time. So 107, I looked at allergies and then I would go allergy, an abnormal response or reaction. So who or what is annoying or aggravating you? Being emotional and not in your true feelings. You could be allergic to yourself and aggravated with that, with what you are doing and not doing to or for yourself. You have not set boundaries for yourself. So the first part I got about that was what was annoying or aggravating me, and that's what was creating the allergies. Now you think about it, an allergy is an allergic reaction to something that is not sitting right with you. So when we look at that is in a mental aspect or in an emotional aspect, it's something that's not sitting right with me. And it's usually because it's an allergy, it's closer to me than, say, something else is. It's got to be more in effect with me. Now, when I was getting a lot of allergies was when I was actually experiencing a lot of issues with my marriage. So I went through all that. Now, I don't get the allergies like I used to. I still do get it sometimes. I still get a sniffly nose sometimes. But I've also worked out a way of how to physically deal with that as well. So when I start to get the allergies my first sneeze, basically I run for the little spray bottle, the little it is just the saline solution. I don't get any decongestant or anything, just the saline solution, and spray it up the nose, and I basically wash the nose so the allergy can't get you. Now, you imagine you're doing that physically, but at the same time, you're doing it mentally and emotionally, sort of going, okay, we're washing away the allergies, wash away the things that are affecting us. Now, it doesn't mean that a person's not still behaving incorrectly, but what we're doing is we're not letting it affect us, and this is a way we deal with our emotions through intuitive healing. So we're getting these messages, we're getting them physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially or environmentally. So with an allergy, it is a physical response to start with, because I would sneeze and then all the sinuses would block up. So with an allergy like that, you're building up more of the mucus to try and flush away the allergy that's maybe, you know, the pollen or whatever it is sitting in your nose. So your body creates more mucus to wash it out, to try and get rid of it. The sneezing tries to get rid of it as well. But what happens, or what was happening with me, is you're building up all that, the more mucus to wash it out. But the mucus would start to sit in your sinuses. And as it sat in all those sinuses, it would, because it wasn't being released, it would start to block up and create sinusitis or sinus infection. From there, of course, I'd be walking around going, ah, you know, with the head throbbing. Then if I didn't do something about it, it would go straight into the chest. And once it came on, got the infection on the chest, it would then be antibiotics and you didn't have a choice. So once I worked out this sort of step, I could work out where I could stop it. I could work out where I could control it. And this is what I did. So I started going, well, hang on, if I don't create the mucus to start with, it's not going to get infected. Or next step, if I take something to thin the mucus up, it won't stop and get infected. So you start to go through these things. Instead of allowing these health issues to affect us, we start to look at the different ways we can work with them. So the first thing I started doing was working with horseradish and garlic for this particular situation. So the triple strength horseradish and garlic tablets that you can get, then it's got fenugreek and marshmallow in it as well. Fenugreek and marshmallow will help with the mucous membranes, helps that side of it. The horseradish will actually thin the mucus, so it stops it going thick and gluggy. So probably a little bit too much explanation here. But anyway, it stops it going thick and gluggy so you can actually get it out. But in doing that, of course, it'll be running either through the back of your throat into your stomach, which makes you feel a bit sick, or it was running out through your nose. But we know it's getting rid of it. The other side of it was the garlic. Now, the garlic will actually help stop the infection. So garlic's really good for preventing those infections. So as soon as I started sneezing or I started feeling a bit that way, I would get onto the horseradish and garlic, and I would take it pretty heavy duty, 2 in the morning, 2 at lunchtime, 2 at night, if I needed to. Now, this is what I mean about being intuitive. By the time, like, say I'd been a little bit off for a couple of days, I started coming good. When I try to take these horseradish and garlic, and they're big tablets, they're horse tablets, I can assure you. When I started taking them, I would start to gag. Now, as soon as I started to gag, I knew intuitively my body was saying, stop, that's enough, we don't need any more. Because when I was sick, I could take them really easy. When I'm not sick, I can't take them. It's the wrong tablet. I don't need that. So that's sort of how I started to get the understanding of this, the healing process. Now, the other aspect too that I did was then I came with this nasal spray. Now, I really didn't understand what nasal sprays were. So I have to be honest, I was a little bit new with the nasal spray side of things. But then, and I always thought nasal spray was just for a decongestant. When I worked out that as soon as I started sneezing, I could use just a saline solution, which, think about it, it's similar to going to the beach. And I know this is quite disgusting, but it's similar to going to the beach and getting rid of all that crap that's in your nose when you've got a cold. You know, you go to the beach and it just seems to clear it all out. This is what the saline solution does. So if you start sneezing, you have a quick spray and it washes all that, your sinuses, and it clears all that out. Sorry, not your sinuses, your nasal passages, and clears that all out. So it actually helps you stop sneezing. And at my age, we don't want to sneeze. It's not a good thing. It's really not a good thing. Yeah, and that's, we don't need to go there, but you know what I'm talking about. After childbirth, sneezing is not pretty, I can assure you. But anyway, we won't go there. So these were the sort of things that I was doing. So what I would do is I would work out what the problem was by using Annette Nuntil's book or Louise Hayes. I'd work out sort of what the other aspect of it was. So I was dealing with that physical side. I was working quite well the physical side, but I wanted to stop it. And that's when I needed to work with the mindset and the emotional aspect to it. So the mindset, which to me is like the logic and the understanding to it, was that something around me is annoying me and I've got to deal with that. I've got to deal with something that's around me that's annoying me. Not necessarily what's causing the problem, but the other aspect to it, because that's that the intuition is kicking that physical problem up for me to address the emotional problem or the emotional situation. So, of course, I was dealing with marriage breakdown, I suppose. It wasn't actually a breakdown. It was more about understanding what, understanding what was going on in my marriage. So there was a lot of aspects there that was really getting to me. But before this, I had the situation with my periods. I was just having so much trouble, not with the physical aspect of my period, but with the emotional aspect. That a week before, I would get the PMS. You just honestly, you get your period every single bloody month, but you still don't recognize the signs, those emotional changes that you have because of the way your hormones are reacting in your body. I just didn't get it. And it was the physical, so the emotional sort of side of things was the first part. Okay, so a week before I was due for my period, obviously the hormones are all moving and changing, and I would start getting a little bit testy, for want of another word. The attitude obviously was changing. And, of course, I didn't notice it that much, but the husband did. And when he would say to me, oh, sorry, you're just getting your period, you're due to get your period, that would make it even worse because he knew more about my body than I did. That's how I felt. But I know it wasn't that. I know that was just my attitude towards it. So I had to change how I was feeling towards that. So when this attitude change started to come through, I would try and quell it, you know, just squash it down and stop and just be all nice and happy, you know, That doesn't sort of work really well. So the emotional aspect kicked in first, then the mental aspect, because honestly, when you're feeling emotionally tested, the thought patterns go with it, you know. So it's not just how we're feeling, it's those thought patterns that will actually make those feelings even worse, or it can make it even better. Unfortunately, mine was going worse. So I was feeling down, and then I would put those thoughts in with it. So I don't know about you, but when I am feeling good, I never think of the past feeling good. Whenever I'm feeling good, it's like I'm feeling good in the now. It's all about the now when you're feeling good. When you're feeling bad, it's all about the past. It's like you grab onto any piece of crap that you can find from your past and you drag it all forward and you put it here in the now. So I was going, you know what, that happened to me last time and this happened to me last time and that happened, and I'd bring it all back to the now, which was crazy, but that's what we do. You think about it. Whenever you're in a good mood, you might be thinking more about a future. Oh, what are we going to do over there? Or we're going on a cruise next year. And it's, you know, all these good things you think about future. All the bad things we tend to bring back from the past and we sort of sit it in our lap. So that's what I started doing. All these mental thoughts started coming back. And, of course, they make that emotional aspect bigger and bigger and bigger. Not good at all. So then we got to more of the physical stuff. Although the physical hormones and that were all changing within my body, we didn't know. You don't notice that. It's those other aspects. So intuition is kicking in here and here and now here. So then we see the physical side. So it was like the pain of the period. So we're talking about a few days. So this is how our body is responding. First here and then all the way to here. So now I've got the pain, and then you've got the visual, the blood, you know, and the period that goes with it. So we're having all these aspects. Now, I know that we get our period and we need that. I know that it helps us release things and it can be really good. So why was the emotional and the mental aspect of it so challenging for me? Why was it that I would be walking around on eggshells, or everyone else was walking around on eggshells, because I was stomping around like a crazy woman? That's what I needed to change. That's what I needed to get an understanding of. If our period is all about releasing, you know, nurturing, ready to nurture the egg and new life, and then releasing it and letting it go because that's not going to be happening, then our attitude should be the same. We should be able to, when we're going through this PMS, we should be able to go, okay, I'm feeling it emotionally, mentally this is coming out. Wouldn't it be a good time to get rid of some of our emotional and mental baggage instead of squashing it and holding on to it? That's what I did. Not good for the relationship, I can assure you, but really, really good for me. Now, when I say this, I was in a very emotionally abusive relationship. So I don't know if you've heard of gaslighting. It's when your empath is with a narcissist, and I'm the empath. So that's what I was sort of copying there. Now, what was happening was, over these years, and this I'm talking about years, you can do this a lot quicker, you don't have to do it as long as me, but over these years, being an empath, you're thinking, oh, I don't know if it's right, oh, maybe not, oh, rah, rah, and you make all these excuses up. So over these years, it was like, okay, yeah, well, he's right, I must be horrible when I'm getting my period, and, you know, you agree to everything and you go along with it. Then after a while, and I'm talking 8, 10 years, whatever, after a while, I started thinking that, you know what, I'm not happy with how things are going, and I really struggled to say anything. every time I brought something up, I would get shot down with it. But I felt like I needed to start saying things. I needed to start expressing myself a little bit more. There was things happening in my life, and I was felt like I was being made the scapegoat for it, and I didn't really need that. So he would be maybe at the pub. He was at the pub every night. He would be at the pub, and then when he would come home. Now, if he'd had a bad day and something had happened at the pub, that would come home to me and three kids. And I had three kids in 3 years. So it was pretty full on at home. And we would have, I'm not a big person for arguing. I don't like to argue. I tend to walk away or just close down. So we didn't have big fights. We didn't have big blues. There was no things getting thrown around or anything else because I wasn't that way inclined. So I tended to go inward rather than external. So with that, there was things happening that I needed to start to speak about. And it was really, really challenging for an empath. It is really challenging to stand up and start to speak what you feel. But what I did over this period of time is that I started to use the change in me. So these hormonal changes that were creating this, I started to use them for my benefit. So what had happened, and I started to look forward to it. It was amazing. So what had happened is I didn't feel I could say anything. So I turned around and said, "Oh, could you help me do this, or could I do this?" And I just wasn't allowed to. You know, you'd get shut down, so you stop asking. There was one stage, just to give you a bit of an understanding. There was one stage there. We lived in a seaside community, and it was about 50 minutes to the local shops type thing. Like, we had a little general store, but to go grocery shopping. So I'd only go grocery shopping every 6 weeks or so, 4 to 6 weeks. Now, we got to the stage, this is how bad it got, that I had to write down my shopping list, everything I needed, and onto an over 6 week period of time. In groceries, I wasn't allowed to put down clothes or anything. I wasn't allowed to buy stuff for the kids. I'd have to put down everything that I wanted. He would look at the list, add it up mentally in his head, and then give me the money, because I never had any money of my own. Now, it was really degrading. And if I wanted any more money, if I wanted to buy some socks for the kids, or, you know, winter was coming, they needed a new jumper or something, I had to basically ask for it. It was so degrading, and I really didn't know how else to deal with it. Eventually I got a part-time job, and then with that part-time job I had to give my money back to him to pay the bills, because me having a part-time job came off his unemployment money. So this is sort of where we were living, and this is what we were doing. And, I mean, I look back at now and I say, what the bloody hell was I doing? You know, why did I stay in that relationship? But you stay in those relationships because you're trying to do the best you can, and that's all you know. I wanted to bring my children up with two parents. Possibly they could have done better with not two parents living together like we were, but, you know, you just don't know that, and you do the best you can. But all this time I was getting this period situation because, as you can imagine, all my emotions and everything else were all held down. When I would get my period, when the hormones started changing, a lot of that stuff started to creep out, and it wasn't always nice. One friend of mine, she said to me, it's like you're a volcano, and when your period comes, you just explode. You just explode. She said, if you're like a volcano and you can just let some gas out as you go along, you're not going to build up all that pressure and wait like every 12 months to be like a huge volcano. So let the steam out as you go along. So letting the steam out meant when somebody says something to you and it doesn't sit right with you, you have to say something back. Now, for empaths, that's a challenge, a real challenge, okay? So that's what it got to. But this is where I used my PMS, for want of another word, to my advantage, because something would be happening or something was going on, and it was like, okay, I'm going to wait until I feel comfortable in saying something, and then I'm going to bring it up. Now, other times when I've tried to bring things up in the past, it wasn't working. His attitude was, oh, that's in the past. So I couldn't always do it. But knowing now that I had more strength, I had the ability, I dropped those filters when my period was due to come on. A week before, I dropped those filters. I had the ability then to stand up and say something. And I did. Now, it was only small to start with, but each time it was like, whoa, that felt good. Now, it wasn't about winning or anything else. It was just about me standing up and saying something instead of holding everything in together. So what ended up happening was that I started to look forward to getting my period. Now, how many women can say that? We look forward to getting my period because it gave me the opportunity to speak my piece. And once I got used to speaking my piece, my periods started to soften off. They weren't as strong. They weren't as heavy. Certainly weren't as painful. And I could start to speak my piece between periods. And again, that I'm talking about over probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 year period. This is not quick. I didn't do this quick because it took me a long time to work it out. But that's what I worked out. If we utilize our period, our change in our emotions or our change in our hormones, and we utilize that for a benefit, and I don't mean it's about that's when you do your big screaming match. It's more about that's the time to be able to stand up and say something if you're in a situation where you need to say something. It gives you that little bit more strength. Now, I remember sitting there for ages or, you know, there'd be years when I just want to say something. It's not coming out. And whenever it does, I get thrown back because of the responses. It was the opportunity for me to start saying something. And it was only small, I can assure you, but it got better and better. And I remember the very last one that I did, and I probably didn't start going through menopause until maybe 8 years after that, the last one with him, and I remember he had a go at me about something, and I thought I knew my period was coming because I could feel it then. I could feel the changes, but I could feel them as a strength more so than anything else. And it was like, I'm going to stand up, and he said something. He said, oh, well, maybe we should just sell the house and get the hell out of here. And I said, yeah, we could sell the house. I'll buy it off you. And that was the start of the relationship separation. About a year later, I actually bought the house and he was out. There was a lot of story to that. But it gave me the strength, the changes in my hormone, what my intuition was saying, gave me the ability to stand up and say it. And I felt strong and I felt confident in saying it. And again, it wasn't about being bitchy or, you know, rah, rah, rah. It wasn't about that. It was just about me standing in my strength and in my peace and being able to say, no, I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. That's not what it's about, you know. So it was whatever it is, it's you standing in your peace. And we can use our periods or our hormonal changes to do that. So it just gives us so much more strength. And I wanted to really share that with you. So we see all those areas that our intuition is kicking in. And it wasn't just once, like with our periods, it's not just a period, it's a hormonal change as well, which gives you strength, it gives you an emotional aspect, it gives you a mental aspect, and it gives you a social aspect. You know, socially, women in having their period, we're the only ones who can do it, you know, so I think, I know, obviously, but we can create that bond and that aspect. And they say when women live together long enough, they actually start, their whole body starts to come into line and they'll all get their period at the same time. if you're working close enough with people, you'll actually start to get your period at the same time. But now I have gone through menopause, and thank goodness the relationship's gone there, and I don't need to have that strength because I've actually created it in myself. And I know then when I get this feeling that, no, that doesn't feel right, I'll actually say something. I might say it over and over again in my head first to get it right, but then I would bring it forward and bring it out. So, yeah, use your strength of the hormonal changes. Use that as a strength, not as a weakness. When it was thrown at me, thrown in my face, saying, oh, you're just getting your period, you know, you're being a bitch or whatever, when it was thrown in my face, it was a negative. And so I responded with the negative. You know, whereas now I can sort of go, well, no, it's not, it's a positive. What we get, what our body does, it's a positive, and we can learn so much from it. So if you're interested, there's that body is the barometer of the soul. So Be Your Own Doctor by Annette Nuntil. Have a look at that, see if you can get it at the library. This has been around for a long, long time, and my poor old book is just so sad looking. Okay, so it was first printed in 1994, and the ninth printing was 2001. So I wouldn't be surprised if it is gone again. But yeah, terrific. It's a terrific little book, and not so much of a reading book, because it's all about, which it still does, but it goes all through the different areas there. So really good to help you with that side of it. And of course Louise Hayes is a great one for that too, so that really takes in all the emotions. And as Louise Hayes says, that with our emotions and with things that are happening to us, we will hold them in our body somewhere, and that's what can create cancers and different things like that. So she goes through all that side of it too. So they're great little ways to help you with your healing aspect. So just be aware of those messages. Now, there is one more thing I wanted to do, because this was, I've spoken to you before, I'm a theory tester, remember? So I tested healing. I needed to see that we can actually heal our bodies if we can, if we need to. Didn't do it with PMS. Oh, my, no. So this was a little bit later on. And what had happened was, I like I said, don't go to the doctors very often. I could feel this lump in my throat. I could feel myself swallow, and I knew that there was something going on, and it was down low, which is your thyroid area. Now, a lot of women have issues with their thyroid. They have problems with that. Now, thyroid is all to do with your chakra for voicing, for talking. So you can imagine mine was getting squished quite a bit. So consequently, having issues with your thyroid was not surprising for me. Especially for empaths, it's not surprising. Even for extroverts, it can be a problem, because they're constantly going, talk to me, or I'm talking to you, actually. So there's often issues with thyroid for women. So when I could feel myself swallowing, I knew that was probably something that I needed to get checked. You know, I know when I can take herbs, or I can look at alternate therapies, but then there's times there when you just know, and again it's your intuition kicking in, that you need to go and seek better help or some professional help. Now, I went in and got the referral on, and I had to go and get the CT scan, you know, where they scan it all. Now, I went to a lady in the clinic there. There was a lady there that was doing the scanning, her machine. There was quite a few machines, but this was hers. And I knew the lady. It was one of my daughter's mums, one of my daughter's friend's mums, I should say. So I knew the lady. And anyway, she went through and she sort of said, oh, yeah, there's a shadow there, and it looks like there's something else dark there, like that we can see a spot there. So she said, look, you're going to have to come back in 2 weeks' time. That's the closest, the sooner we can get the doctor in to do a biopsy on it. Now, the biopsy had to go as a needle, and they needed to be on the machine to be able to see where the needle was going to get it into the right spot. So straight away I've gone, okay, so now I've got thyroid issues. Okay, what can we do here? So this is what I did. I tested the theory. The first thing I did was look at the physical aspect. What can I take physically for it? and I got onto the kelp tablets. So I went to the local pharmacy or health food shop, got onto kelp tablets, started taking those. What could I do mentally? Okay, I started looking at affirmations that will help heal my ability. And I put it down to speaking. I wasn't speaking properly. I was holding on to everything, you know, so and just keeping it all closed in. So I did affirmations that I speak my truth, and you know, ones like that about how I can speak and how I can share my information. So I started doing affirmations on that. That's the physical, that's the mental side of it. Socially, I just made sure I wasn't out sort of in anywhere where I was yelling or screaming or singing Mustang Sally at the top of my voice, you know, so I very careful about that for the next couple of weeks. So just anything like that in that side, getting into a situation in the environment or socially where it could be affected. So nowhere where there was a lot of smoke or nowhere where, again, I was using my vocal cords too much or, you know, straining or even eating, you know, because you're looking at that physical aspect of it. So I was mindful of that. And then there was the emotional side to it. So that's when I went in and had a look at books like this and see what the connection was amongst it. So with it, I would go in and I would do a bit of a meditation and I would do some healing work. So I'd go in and I would picture the white light coming through and just doing things around my throat, around my neck area. And also another element of my throat too was when I was attacked, and I've spoken about that before in the other podcast. So when I was attacked, I was strangled until I basically passed out. So again, that was all of this throat area where I was restricted in the throat to stop me talking. So I started working on the spiritual side of it, you know, the emotional side of it, what how it felt, what it was all about, how I can cleanse it. A lot of your healings, what you're doing, your spiritual healing and your vibrational healing and that type energy work, it's all about your visualization and what you see and how you see it. So people can see shadows in different ways and they might have really crisp outlines. They may be a blurry outline. They may be a particular shade of shadow, if that makes sense. They could still have colours in the shadow. So all these sort of things I was looking at, if there were colour, I'd go and get my colour chart. What does colour mean? If I saw two or three different things, what does that number mean? And I started to really go into it there. I only had 2 weeks and I had to really, really work on it. So 2 weeks later, I came to this, I went back to the clinic. It was the same lady and we went onto the same machine. So we lay down and we're just chatting away and then she started to look at it and she's going, ah. I'm going, what's wrong? She goes, I can't find it. I said, what can't you find? She goes, there was definitely a shadow and a spot there. I've got it here. She said, it's the same machine. I did it. I know it was there. I wouldn't have called the doctor in unless I, you know, knew it was there. And this lady had been working as I can't remember what her title was, sorry, but she'd been working in that environment for a long time. So she was very well versed on it. She said, I just can't work it out. Anyway, the doctor's come over ready to do the biopsy and there's nothing there. I had shrunk it and I'd gotten rid of it. And I still believe, even though I was taking the kelp tablets and I was, you know, doing everything else, it's that combination of everything. Taking a kelp tablet, my throat's going now. Taking a kelp tablet, it's not only that physical side of taking that tablet, it's that attitude, that emotional and the mental attitude that you have saying, I'm taking it to make myself better. I'm fixing myself. So it's all to do with the whole concept, the overall arching everything. So with this, the doctor came over. The doctor was disgusted, I have to be honest. He was disgusted. He said, well, this is a waste of time, and he walked off. And I'm thinking, oops, I didn't do that. I was over the moon because there was nothing there. I had healed myself, and I had the proof that we could do it. I had the proof. They had to take a, they wanted a biopsy to prove it. I had got rid of it all. And that's why I know that we can do this. And I'm not saying we could do it every time and for everything, but there is a lot we can do if we start to look at it from different directions. Don't just heal it in the physical. Heal it in so many different ways. Do it as many different ways as you can. Go to different healing modalities. Try different ways. But the biggest and the best part is to do what you can do on your own. Sit in meditation and visualize what it looks like. Now, if everybody was sitting down in a circle, and we've all got a cold, we've all got chest infection, all got a cold. Now, if I took you through a guided meditation on how to get rid of that cold for you, you would do it, you would visualize it in your way. So if I said, you're going to send in the troops and they're going to start to clean off all the edges and all the rest, what does it look like? You would have a completely different understanding to what this person beside you would have, to what the next person would have, to what the next person would have, and yet we're all talking about the same thing. And this is what was so, so interesting. We will visualize it the way we need to visualize it, and we will fix it the way we need to fix it. And if somebody says, oh, I watched this little tablet bomb drop and everything just disappeared, or somebody else is going, oh, no, we just painted it, you know, because we scraped it all down and it was all raw, and so we painted it with this lovely cream to make it all heal. It's just so many crazy ways to fix things, but you've got to do it. You've got to be seeing it and visualizing it and going into it with a meditation. But anyway, that's it. I've gone too long again. So what do you remember when you're trying to do your healing? Not when you're trying, when you are doing healing. We can do it. We can all do it. Look at the physical, look at the mental, look at the emotional, and look at the social side of it, or the environmental side to it. It's no good trying to heal yourself if you're in an environment that's full of, you know, you're trying to fix a lung cancer when you're in an environment full of cigarette smoke. You know, we've got to be mindful of our physical aspect as well as our spiritual and our emotional. So, click in with all of those. If it feels right physically, your intuition's going, go, good. If it feels right spiritually, or sorry, I should say emotionally, go with it. If it feels right mentally, go with it. If it feels right socially, go with it. If it doesn't feel right, they're the signs. It doesn't feel right, and that's okay. There's something else there. It doesn't mean the whole lot's got to be stopped. It just means maybe we need to step this way or step another way. So remember, we've got the four areas: emotional, physical, not spiritual, I keep saying that, mental, and our social or our environment. That's me. I've got to go because otherwise I'll get into trouble. I meant to only go for 30 minutes and I just talk too much. So I'm Susan Jane. You can connect with me on all the socials. I'm on there. There's a Facebook group called Intuitive Personal Development, which I am going to be doing a bit more of. And the branding is just starting to come in, as you can see. So I'm going to say bye for now. Have a great week, and I will see you next week. Okay, bye, guys.